Joshua chapter 12 and Psalm 23. We'll say it is an honor to open God's words here in this pulpit. I've gotten a lot of feeding from here personally. I would even say some life-changing or even that much building material has been given from this pulpit to me personally. So it's a privilege every time getting to stand here and preach. So thank you for that. And so go ahead and open your Bibles up to Joshua chapter 12. We'll just read two verses, verse 7 and verse 8, and then we'll get to Psalm 23. Joshua chapter 12, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says, "And these are the kings of the country which Joshua and the children of Israel smote on this side, Jordan on the west, from Baal-gad in the valley of Lebanon, even unto the Mount Helak that goeth up to Seir, which Joshua gave unto the tribes of Israel for a possession according to their divisions, in the mountains, and in the valleys, and in the plains, and in the springs, and in the wilderness, and in the south country, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites." Now go ahead and turn over to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, beginning verse 1, the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you again for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for a chance to open them and to once more look at what you have to say to us. Father, I pray that you would once again just fill me with your Holy Spirit to feed the flock you have here by these means. We know it's not ideal for everyone. We would sure like to be together, but we are grateful for a chance to still have your book preached. So please speak with your people through this time. Let them hear your words and not my own opinion or thoughts. And I pray you would come quickly. We love you in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now the passage you just read, the second one, that is a very common passage. In fact, a lot of Christians would have it memorized. A lot of lost religious people might even have quotations of it hanging in their homes. It's not uncommon to have a Catholic have that in homes. Catholic homes have been in here and there. It's a very common passage, but do you know the depths of what it means? I'm talking to Bible believers tonight. I believe that you all have had the shepherds leading. For those who aren't saved, or maybe they're saved and haven't had growth, really it's just kind of a cliche psalm. You know, the lost world might even be able to turn to this and think they're doing God a favor by quoting it. I'm not sure what goes through their minds, thinking it's some kind of comfort because of the depth that is there between what we know as the shepherd, the good shepherd, that is, and the sheep, which we happen to be in the Bible. 1 Peter, hold your hand here. Go ahead and turn over to 1 Peter real quick. Kind of give just a background before we hop into things. I will say this, according to Scripture, we are likened to sheep. Now, when I think of a sheep or a lamb, that's what I think of. I think of a lamb. I don't think of a woolly, mangy, maybe with scurvy or some, you know, bugs in its nose just giving it, you know, infections. I don't think of that as a sheep. I think of a cute little fluffy white lamb. Just, you know, in the hand, sitting there and going, bah, you know, it's innocent, it's pure. I think most people probably think of a sheep of that way, unless, of course, you know more about sheep or maybe you're a shepherd. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25 says, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Sheep often go astray. Am I a shepherd? No. Have I ever shepherded? No, but I've read a little bit on it, and even for the basis of this message, just seeing what the Lord was speaking about. The man who wrote this psalm was a shepherd. You know that, David. Yeah, Jesus Christ himself, and we're going to look in John here and shortly, is the good shepherd, our good shepherd. And so he knows sheep. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You know, a sheep, a dumb animal that it is, at least the accounts I've read of it, if it's a, you know, sheep have character in a way that, yes, they follow the flow of all the animals, but there's almost a hierarchy in sheep, what I was reading. They'll butt heads, and if one sheep, the leader, so to speak, thinks that that sheep is eating the greener grass, he'll butt him and get to that grass. I've read an account of a sheep going to the side of a cliff trying to get a piece of, just a little piece of greenery where the shepherd's going to lead him to the pasture, and falls off the cliff to his death. You say that, that's kind of a weird thing to laugh at. You know, I find it kind of comical because that's what the Lord likens us to. You've heard messages on sheep before. You know that they're dumb enough, they'll flip up on their back, and some within a matter of hours, generally longer, but some depending on their health, within a matter of hours, if the shepherd does not flip them, they'll die on their back. They can't get back to it. You know, sheep, just giving you a background, in the summertime, it is a horrible time for them. Although they get the best pasture, we're going to look at that. I'm just trying to give you a background here. They'll have different insects and flies. I know it sounds gross, but fly up in their nose and lay their eggs and whatever it may be and have infection spread to them that way. And the sheep will be in so much agony and can't do anything about it himself. He'll bash his head against a tree or a rock. And what I was reading, some have even caused their own deaths by doing that, just to get rid of the annoyance. Brethren, I think that pretty much explains our human nature. I think that pretty much explains Christians as a whole. We're dumb, to put it plainly. And so in Numbers, we're looking at the Lord leading his people like a flock. And the reason why we turn to Joshua, that's very important. We're going to make a correlation between Psalm 23 and what we just read in Joshua. But the children of Israel were just like that. The Lord referenced them, his people, like that because they went astray. They would try to go where they thought was better ground. You see that with Reuben and a couple of tribes that went with him on the other side, Jordan, when God has the promised land right over. You see that, let's turn back to Egypt. Certainly are, we heard that the first night from Brother David, it might happen, God might not take care of us, and we might lose our lives, so let's turn back to slavery. You know, sheep are dumb. We're dumb. Yet God, as a good shepherd, leads us. So this is going to be more about the shepherd's leading. In fact, that's the title of the sermon, not so much about the shepherd himself. You've heard plenty of messages about that, I'm sure. Hopefully just give you a little bit, and I would even dare say it kind of comes off of what Brother Jeremy said last night about our course and the different courses in our life that the Lord leads us through. First, you want to look at in Joshua chapter 12 there in verse 7, you see the mountains. The Bible says in the mountains. Now this goes in line with Psalm 23:5. The Bible says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." You see, there's a lot of depth there that a shepherd would understand. One of which, what we're looking at today, is the table. Now it's very common during the summer months for a good shepherd, that is, to lead his sheep to the high tablelands of the mountains. You see, you can't go there in the winter, it's too cold. They need the safety and warmth of the shepherd's fold during the winter months. We're going to look at that in just a minute. But during the summer months is the time, if a good shepherd knows what he's doing, at least what I've read, he'll take them, and they call it the tablelands, some of the best pasture up there. Problem with the mountains is that it also brings predators. The Bible says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." We'll just talk briefly here on the mountaintop experience. See, every Christian thinks that the mountaintop experience is the best place, and you know, it is a good place. The Lord himself in Matthew 5, we're not going to look at all these verses, just rather reference them if you want to write them down. But Matthew chapter 5 through 7, the Lord gives his Sermon on the Mount. I know, of course, all the richness there, and I know doctrine, a lot of that is a tribulation time, and to the Jews, not to us doctrinally, but the Lord taught his people up there on the mountain. Oftentimes, the Lord would resort to a mountain privately to pray. The mountaintop is a good time experience. I'm not speaking against the mountaintop. I'm just saying that is not the only part of the Christian life. The tablelands were great, but brethren, the summer only lasts so long. It's great pasture, but there's also enemies there. So look over in Ezekiel 34, holding your hand in Psalm 23. But the tableland that's prepared before you in the presence of your enemies, for a shepherd, it might have more of a different take than you and I would just reading it off, just first glance. Ezekiel chapter 34, the Lord himself speaks to his children, speaking of the nation of Israel. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11, "For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. If you know your Bible, the Lord's talking about the restoration of Israel. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. You see, the Lord knows, that is, being a good shepherd, he knows the best pasture. Doctrinally, we see that going out, the restoration of Israel. The Lord brings them back in from all the nations. He scattered them, and he allures them in the wilderness and the tribulation and brings them back to himself, and then sets up a millennial kingdom in Jerusalem as his capital in Israel. And that's their nation. But practically, the mountaintops, they're good times. They're a delicious time of feeding, but you know what? They are a time of danger. See, the shepherd, when he has to go up to that mountaintop, at least what I was reading, I say that because, once again, I'm not a shepherd. These are accounts I've read. But that shepherd has to take the time beforehand to take trips up to the mountain to make sure there aren't an active presence of predators. To make sure maybe where the springs of water, where he can not only feed his flock, but water them, haven't had branches or leaves or growth over where the sheep can't get to it during the fall and winter, so they have a place to drink. He has to make sure that path through the valleys, and we're going to look at that in a second, is clear for his sheep. See, the shepherd knows the best place. But for the shepherd, it's an arduous work and job to prepare. You see, the mountain is a place of warfare as well. Joshua chapter 14, if your hand's in Joshua chapter 12, Joshua 14, a very common verse, just reference it quickly, Joshua 14 verse 12, now therefore give me this mountain, this is Caleb speaking, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced, if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for inheritance. Caleb wanted that mountain. Caleb was directly affected by the fallings of the children of Israel, where he had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years with them, although he did nothing wrong. But he still got that mountain. See, you are a soldier. We heard about that just a minute ago. I believe they are connected for the reason to show you that. You are still commanded to fight the good fight of faith. You are a dumb sheep. So am I. We're part of it together. But we're sheep that are called to fight. And just an irony, I figure, in the Christian life, where we're likened to both the sheep and we are a soldier. See, the mountaintop is not just a place of good grazing. It's a place of warfare. Jesus Christ was brought up to a high mountain and had to face off with Satan himself. Did he have fellowship with the Lord during the 40 days of fasting? I'm sure he did. But there was a good amount of battle going on at the end of those 40 days. Not only do we see the mountain in our text, but if you're in Joshua chapter 12, the immediately after that you see in the mountains and in the valleys. Now, we know that. You can correlate that to Psalm 23. The Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Mind you, to get to those mountaintops, whether going to a mountain or down from a mountain, you have to go through the valley. See, Christians shrink away from the valley, and my flesh is just like yours. We kind of spoke about that last night. Suffering, who wants suffering? Who wants the valley? But, you know, I think there's a misconception about the valley as a whole. The valley is not always a place of suffering. For the shepherd, that valley provides the cool water, generally, of the springs, the rivers that come down, and the mountaintop is, the peak is melting through the summer, the winter snow, and the summer warmth is providing cool running water for the sheep. Often a good, very fertile place in the valleys. I always picture a valley of one mountain peak here and one mountain peak here in this skinny little narrow way where I'm going to, you know, turn either way and no way to lie down, and I'm probably going to die here and just lose all hope in the valley because I can't see the sun. You see, the valley is quite different than you might expect. For the shepherd, it's the means by which he can bring his sheep to the higher ground. For the sheep, it's a chance to maybe even hear the voice of the shepherd that much clearer, because without the shepherd's guidance, sure enough, he will go off on the wrong path in these winding roads of the valley where he doesn't know where he's going. You see, I hope you can say tonight, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The valley is often the most fertile place. Here in the Jezreel Valley in Israel, it is one of the most, the most fertile spot in the land. That land is pretty much a desert, mostly, yet God has allowed it to be fertile. Well, they're a major producer of produce in the world, especially flowers. It amazes me to think about that, because the valley can be a very fertile place. That valley of Megiddo, also known as the Jezreel Valley, is where the Lord's going to tread his enemies out with, as far as we can see, if the calculations are right, approximately over 200 square miles of blood up to the horse's bridle. Brethren, that's not a little thin valley. You look out over the valley of Jezreel, overlooking from Mount Carmel, it's a vast place. You see towns and villages. The valley is not always a place of despair. The valley is where a lot of the farmers will find fertile ground. Can't regularly, again, I'm not a farmer, but a lot of farms are on the very tip-top of a mountain peak. Great place to visit, great view. I love the mountain view. I got to do a little hiking this last year in deputation out west. Beautiful sights, loved it. Thank Lord, got a chance to see some mountains out in Montana and out west. And man, it's a great time, but I'm not looking at building a house upon a mountaintop. I isolate it from everything. Worst place in the winter. No, it's a good time of feeding, but you have to go through that valley. Joshua himself, when he took Ai by the Lord's guidance after the sin, you remember they were sin in the camp, and that's not giving you the whole story. I'm just showing you that when he went, and you can read the account yourself in Joshua 8, when he went to take the city, he had to go into the valley first, and then he took the city. Valley can be a very fruitful place. Turn over to John chapter 10. I'll try to go through these fairly quickly, but it's not super in depth, but hopefully just a reminder to you possibly. John chapter 10, you see there's something in the valley that the Lord can produce in you, that, you know, the mountaintop just can't do it. The mountaintop is great feeding. It's a good time. It's a time of protection and provision. You see that with how the sheep are taken care of, but the summer only lasts so long. The valley is the way by which they go up to it and by the way they come back. John chapter 10, you see in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You see, the Lord is with you in the valley. He knows you would get lost in the valley and certainly fall to the prey or to the predator there. He knows that you would lose your way. He knows that the wolf would come, and so he gives his life for you. And you can, if you stay close to him, you realize the safest sheep in that shepherd's fold is the one closest to the shepherd. The ones that the predators, at least what I read, the predators go after are the stragglers, the outskirts, the sheep that remain by themselves. Let's give you a little picture there. Excuse me. You see, the valley can be a time of close fellowship with the Savior. You might go through some rough times. It is true, it's harder to see the sun when you have two mountain peaks on either side. That doesn't mean it has to be a worrisome place. You can follow the shepherd through it. Because surely not only will he bring you through the mountains and the valleys, but he'll bring you to the sweet plains. Back in Joshua chapter 7, you see, 12, you see that. In verse 8, the Bible says, in the mountains and in the valleys and in the plains. The Bible says in Psalm 23, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know, as the sheep come closer to home for the long winter months, they start coming back through fields and plains. We're going to look at the last one, the wilderness, here in a couple minutes. But we get more at the home ground where it's familiar. You see, the plains, it's not a mountaintop, it's not a valley, it's not winding. It's what it explains. You know, I know it's two different words, but it's plain. It's calm. It's pasture. It's a place where I can lie down. The Lord says he's going to feed his people Israel with the fat pastures, like we read back in Ezekiel 34. If you're still in John 10, like I'm not, John chapter 10, turn back over there. John chapter 10, before what we read in verse 7, the Bible says, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they have it more abundantly. See, the wise shepherd will do something that they call rotating the pastures. I'm sure there's a more specific name for that. But basically, sheep being as dumb as we are, we'll eat in one spot until there's barely anything there and not given enough time to grow. And so you're putting more force and more energy into really nothing until it's just a barren land. And that land is destroyed to where it's almost unrepairable. But the shepherd who knows what he's doing, again, accounts that I've read, he'll have his pastures kind of closed off, and you can picture it as a clock. Maybe they do it differently. I don't know whether it's in a quarters or a clock motion, but he lets them feed in this area for such a time as he thinks, okay, they're getting a little low and they're having to strive a little harder, then he'll move them to the next pasture. When that goes, then he'll move them to the next one. You see, as he rotates through his pastures, he's giving time for the land to heal and time for the grass to get greener and freshen up, and he's giving his sheep the best that he could, the best of the grass. They're not having to labor as hard. When that sheep eats and it doesn't take much and they lie down, like we read in Psalm 23, whether you picture a big woolly sheep that's gross and yellow and muddy, or a cute little white lamb, they lay down in that pasture and just kind of loll, if you ever heard it. I like it. I like the sound of sheep. I won't embarrass myself and give you my impressions of it. But, you know, it's kind of something innocent and lulling when you just hear sheep bag. It's peaceful. It's contented. See, the Lord knows where you need your feeding. If he left you up on the mountaintop, you would die in the winter. If he left you in the valley, you'd fall prey to predators and probably also freeze there and not find enough grass. There's not enough pasture there to sustain you. But then he gives you his own fold. And he says, you come in and out through me. I'm the door. You'll find pasture. The Lord knows how to rotate you through the bright pastures at the right time. It's your job, according to John 15, to abide in him, though. Again, won't turn all these passages more referencing, but you have to trust that the Lord knows what he's doing with where he has you on your course. Life changes. We heard that last night. I believe they tie in. You have different battlefields in your mind. The Lord knows how to take those strongholds down and knows what ones need to be attacked. The Lord knows how to rotate his pastures. And sometimes you have to be on those plains. It doesn't seem like nothing's going on. It seems like I'm not on the mountaintop. I'm not in the valley. Thank God I'm not going through suffering, but I'm just kind of on a plain level right now. It feels like nothing's going on. No, that's for your good, because the Lord knows how to feed you there. You get some of the best feeding, the sustained feeding right there in the plains, in the pastures. Continuing on quickly, the Bible says in Joshua chapter 12, we see in the mountains and in the valleys and in the plains and in the springs. Now, you could reference that and make it as he leadeth me beside the still waters. I would rather take you, though, to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22, as you notice, both involve water. That is very obvious. Revelation 22, verse 17. While you turn there, I mentioned it yesterday, but Ephesians 5, you're sanctified with the washing of water by the word. You need that water. Verse 17 of Revelation 22. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You see, the shepherd knows that his sheep not only need the best pasture, but they need the best watering. Springs. Cool springs flowing up. Natural springs, I believe, would probably be the best for them. Fresh, clean, cold water. You ever drink water from a natural spring? It's pretty neat. That's cool. It's very refreshing, of course, going through the hot summer. You turn over with me to John, the book of John. We'll look at verse 4. I only really have a few more references to turn to. But John chapter 4. You're familiar with the passage. I'll give you the background while you're going there. The Lord is passing through Samaria. He's at a well. He tells the lady there to give him a drink. Somehow, you know, through the scripture, just aside, the Lord never got a drink of water. Once again, him knowing what you go through. But yet, he himself says in verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I present before you tonight that the good shepherd knows how to give the best water. He knows where the best springs are. He knows whether you're on the mountaintop to give you the springs, the fresh water there. He knows in the valleys where to bring you beside the cool, still waters of the melting peaks. He knows in his own fold, if he's going to sustain his flock, he better have a water source. I submit before you that Jesus Christ, your good shepherd, does know how to take care of you. He does know how to feed you. He knows how to put you in the place where you'll not only get the best feeding, but the right feeding, where you won't have to put as much effort into nothing, doing something wrong over and over again just for the sake of doing it, like we kind of somewhat heard last night. You know, to get in between the own fold of the shepherd and all the way back to the mountains, and you know, it's a cycle. The shepherd does that. He has them in his own fold during the winter. He'll take care of them there. He's got to bring them through. Lastly, we're going to look at the wilderness to get to the valley, to get to the mountain, to come back down to the valley across the pastures and plains, back through the wilderness and into the fold. You see, life is the journey that changes constantly. But the Lord has a cycle of what he knows what you need to go through. Look lastly with me. The Bible says in our passage in verse 8, in the mountains, in the valleys, in the plains, and in the springs, and in the wilderness. Often again, too, you hear the word wilderness as a Christian, and you kind of shy away and think, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know if I want to go through the wilderness. I know there's trouble there and doubts there and turmoil. I see that the children of Israel wandered there for 40 years, and all of them who disobeyed the Lord died. I don't know if I want to go through this wilderness. But you will never get to that mountaintop if you don't go through it. You see, the devil took the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord drove the Lord into the wilderness there to be tempted of the devil. And then he came back and began his ministry with his disciples being chosen. You see, he had victory on that mountaintop because he was driven into the wilderness. John chapter 1 and 23 won't turn there, but you see that John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, had the word of God come to him in the wilderness. He was out in the wilderness alone for who knows how long, just by the accounts you give, but a lot of his life there, and the word of God came to him in the wilderness. I submit before you that in Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 9, when the Lord was teaching his disciples, and his heart went out to them because it was late in the day and they didn't have food, and he didn't want to send them away fasting lest they faint in the way, that it was in the wilderness where he fed the 4,000 at one time and the 5,000, and we know plus 5,000, 4,000 men on the other occasion. It was in the wilderness where he fed them. You say, well, I don't know if I want to go through this wilderness. It's scary here. The predators are there. I don't know where to find spring. It's not the shepherd's fold where he knows everything completely like he would. The sheep don't know as their own homeland because they're not there the majority of the year. Rather, it's a transitional point. But the wilderness is needed in the Christian's life. The wilderness is needed in the sheep's life if they're going to get to that sweet mountain tableland. If they're going to have the cool waters and the sweet time in the valley with the shepherd, if they're going to be able to get to those springs and know the sweet taste of the waters of home and know the sweet waters of the melting mountaintop peaks, it's through the wilderness. The Lord brought Elijah out, and rather Elijah went out into the wilderness on his own, and that's where the Lord fed him and gave him drink and took care of him. And then he went in that meat twice, as we read in the scripture. He went in that meat for 40 days and 40 nights. I would say that's a pretty good feeding. Can you imagine getting some of that food? You could go for a while on it. You see, the wilderness is needed in the Christian's life, in the sheep's life, if he is ever to amount to anything for Jesus Christ. Just bringing before you these tonight just kind of stuck out to me personally, because we are sheep. Now, we're armed sheep. See, that's kind of an irony, I think. It's kind of funny. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. We are to fight, not entangled with the cares of this life. But, you know, I would say probably more so, and maybe I'm wrong here, but more so danger than the predator to the sheep would be the sheep's own stupidity. The sheep close to the shepherd, chances are, is not going to be attacked by the predator. The sheep that's close to the shepherd probably won't fall off the canyon side if the shepherd knows what he's doing. The sheep that's by himself will roll on his back and lie there because he's not close enough to hear the shepherd's voice and call for help. And the sheep that wanders off from the shepherd through the valley is the one who falls off the cliff. In the mountaintop, the one who falls to the wolf, the one who's not close to the shepherd might die of dehydration because he can't find the spring of water because he's just too dumb by himself. The one who gets lost in the wilderness. Say, it's kind of a funny thing, but brethren, we're dumb. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we would surely perish in any of these scenarios that he takes you through life. You must stick close to the shepherd. Just read this and end here. A common song, one of my favorites, but a common song. It says, in shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cool flow, bathe the weary's one feet. God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley in darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. I'm sure you know the rest of the song, but I hope that you just consider tonight, wherever he might have you, the best place of feeding, watering, safety, warmth, care is right next to the shepherd. You won't find it by yourself and on your own wisdom. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we do thank you again for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for being our good shepherd. Thank you for knowing a lot better than we. Father, we are dumb sheep that have gone astray so many times. Lord, I pray that every single sheep, including myself, will hear your voice and follow you and stick close to you. Going through the times we are in no normalcy seemingly, I pray that we would all cling to you and listen to the shepherd's voice. We love you and pray you'd come quickly. In Lord Jesus Christ, amen.